Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. We just dismissed kids for Children's Church a moment ago, and now I'd like to dismiss you if you did not get your fill of chicken minis or mini muffins or chicken nuggets. I saw a few guys shoving some nuggets into their coat pockets before they came in, which is really smart because this is going to be a long sermon. So if you did not get your snacks, now's the time. You're going to need to keep your energy up here. It's going to be long and boring and difficult. I'm just warning you from the beginning. So there's some snacks out there. No, that is a wonderful thing, and hopefully you knew what was going on, and Jennifer got up and highlighted that. But every year we ask our adult members to sign up and volunteer and pray over the children and youth of our church. And so that was a time both for a celebration for the church, but also especially for all of those adults who are going to be praying through the course of the year for our little ones, to get to meet them and let them know. And I love that we do this, and I love that we had this morning. And so if you wondered what all that was about, one, it's to get your nugget on for the morning, but also so we could meet those that we're praying for. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. Next week, we wrap up our series in the Sermon on the Mount, and then we're going to start a new series, Stranger God, in which we're exploring the God who comes to us in surprise, in the form of unexpected people in unexpected places. And I hope, if you haven't already, I hope you'll start to pray for me and pray for our church as we prepare for that. You'll see on the screen behind me Matthew chapter 7, and you can open your Bible to that also. And keep it open, because we'll keep referring to it through the sermon. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This morning, I want to start off by relating to a story, an illustration that I actually started with last week. And I'm going to tell you two stories connected to that one story from last week. Now, if you weren't here last week, it's just a brief recap. I started the story by being a little open and confessional and admitting that I've never been a workout weightlifting kind of guy, which if you weren't here, there was an audible gasp of surprise from the church, followed by an eerie moment of silence. Those of you who were here, you can attest to that. And I also admitted, because I've never been a weightlifting kind of guy, that I, like many other people, find gyms to be intimidating places. Now, all of that was a setup to talk about a gym, a national chain, Planet Fitness, and even more, to talk about a slogan that they put out everywhere in their ads and on their walls, identifying it as a judgment-free zone. And I love that slogan, and I love what they're doing, trying to make it a welcoming place for those who are intimidated to go into gyms. And really, that was a setup to talk about how Planet Fitness and that slogan is really the kind of vibe that Jesus gave off to all the people around them, that he was like a walking billboard that said judgment-free zone, so that all kinds of social outcasts and spiritual outcasts felt welcomed around him and wanted around him, that they felt like they could be themselves around him. And it was a reminder of that call of the church to be that kind of people, a judgment-free zone. so that those who come and those who are thinking about coming know that they are welcomed as they are, where they are, that the story of the gospel is not that we have to get ourselves worthy to a certain point before God will finally welcome us in. And it's a reminder, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never been baptized, you don't have to wait to get your life just so perfect, worthy. In fact, the reason Jesus came, the point of his coming, is knowing that you and I could never get to that worthy place. That's his job. He's got the salvation thing covered. So that's why I talked about Planet Fitness and their slogan. Well, I had one of the most chilling and disturbing responses to that sermon that I have ever had in my 20 years of preaching. And it came from one of the most wonderful people in our church, September Crabtree. Came from across the auditorium. I could tell she had something she wanted to tell me, and it was urgent. And she came over and she found me in that corner. That corner will never be the same for me, September, after that interaction. And she says, "I've got good news. I know you said it was a national chain, but they've got a local gym here in Little Rock on Markham, so you can go and lift weights now. And you've got no excuse." Let me stop right here and say, if I in any way gave the impression that I want to start lifting weights and working out, I apologize. I did not communicate clearly last week. Last week was really an illustration about being a judgment-free zone, not about my hidden desire to start to work out. So thank you, September. We love her. She's the pediatrician to our kids. Such helpful information on your part. But you can see why I was rattled by that exchange after the sermon. Okay, story number two. And this is the way I found out about Planet Fitness and their slogan, judgment-free zone, in the first place. And a couple of you made sure, if I didn't know about this story, you also sent me links after the sermon. You're like, "Hey, have you heard this story?" Yes, I heard the story. It was July 24th in New Hampshire, a Planet Fitness. And you'll probably see why I didn't work this story into the sermon last week. This man, you can already tell, this is going to go somewhere interesting, isn't it? Yes, it is. This man walked into a Planet Fitness in New Hampshire, July 24th, and he walked past the counter, and he began to shed himself of his clothes, all of his clothes, until he then decided to walk around Planet Fitness, au naturel, as the French would say. And he made some laps until he located some yoga mats in a particular part of the facility. And then he went and sat on the yoga mat, striking a yoga pose. And he sat there until the police arrived to arrest him. And the only thing he said when they tried to figure out, "What in the world are you doing?" he said one thing. "Well, I thought this was a," can you finish the sentence? "Judgment-free zone." You can see why I didn't work that into last week's sermon, can't you? Okay, so these two stories bring up an important part two to that last lesson and that passage about being a people who judge not lest we be judged. Judgment-free does not mean clothing-free, at the gym. Just let's get that out there in case any of the rest of you are confused about that. And more broadly, judgment-free doesn't mean we have a license to do whatever we want. Judgment-free does not mean we then have a license to harm others or to hurt ourselves in the process. Judgment-free doesn't mean that it doesn't matter who we are or how we live or what we decide to do. And in all fairness to September, judgment-free doesn't mean that we don't have to put real work into being the best we can be. Putting real work into exercising our spiritual muscles and I suppose the physical ones too, as we seek to love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind and even our strength. And so I quoted Jesus from Mark 2 last week when he explains why he spends so much time eating with people like tax collectors and sinners, all the social and spiritual outcasts of his day. And the explanation is, I did not come for the healthy, I came for the sick. But we should also keep in mind that when Jesus comes for the sick, which is all of us in some way, he comes to do what? To make us healthy. I mean, that's the goal. It's not just to show up for the sick and say, isn't it great that we're all sick? It is to show up in our sickness, in our weakness, in our sin, and say, I don't condemn you, but let's grow together. I do come to help you. I come to help you be healthy. And Paul talks about something similar in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus arrives at a very similar place in Matthew 7. So he starts Matthew 7 by strongly warning against judging others, or that judgment comes back on us. But he also urges self-reflection to try to deal with our own sin. Judgment-free doesn't mean free of reflection or free of repentance or change. And Jesus strongly warns against judging others, but he also strongly urges us to be people of discernment, especially about those we learn from and follow, which doesn't mean we have to agree with every single thing a person says in order to listen to them, because we wouldn't listen to anyone. But he says, if you're going to sit at the feet of people and have them teach you, then you want people whose lives produce the fruit of godliness. You can tell if what they're teaching leads to health by the fruit that their lives produce. Jesus strongly warns against judging others, but he strongly urges us to be thoughtful and intentional about the paths we walk. So here again, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now Jesus grabs on to an image that people in the ancient world would have readily understood, because all the ancient walled cities had roads leading up to various gates, various entrances. And you can see a picture behind me. This is Herod's gate that's referenced in Luke chapter 23. And some of the gates are wide enough where multiple people can enter and exit at one time, and people can bring their goods with them, and there's lots of room, but others are small. And you have to take your turn, and you have to plan things out if you have things that you've brought with you. In other words, you can't simply go with the flow and expect to be able to make it through that gate. Now, this is where a passage like this gets challenging. Because sometimes we conclude that the goal then is to everything in every way be countercultural, which sometimes comes across as contrarian. Well, if others say it's cold outside, then we'll say it's hot. And if others say it's a beautiful day, we'll say it's not. If they're for it, then we're against it. And if they're against it, then we're for it. So it's helpful to keep in mind that just being argumentative and hard to get along with is not virtuous, and it's not righteous, and it's not what Jesus is talking about. And sometimes we're moving in very different directions of culture, but sometimes culture is actually leading us in ways that the church is lagging behind. Sometimes culture is ahead of us and we've gone kicking and screaming when it comes to racial integration or something like women's suffrage, and we say, well, we're not going to do it just because they're doing it. The idea that Jesus is talking about is seek first the kingdom in all things. And if seeking first the kingdom and following in the ways of Christ just happens to go in the flow, in the current of where culture is also going, then praise God. Because we're seeing evidence of the work of God around us, and join in when we can. Because we also know there will be plenty of times when the current of culture is going in a different direction than seeking first the kingdom of God will take us. And in all of those instances, someone's got a phone call they're going to answer here in just a minute. In all of those instances, when we find that the current of culture is taking us in a different direction than the kingdom of God, then we got to keep swimming hard to go against that flow so we can follow Jesus. So what is the narrow road less traveled? Well, a temptation is to get here and just identify all the sins we've got a problem with, or all the pet peeves and personal favorites we have. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with girls who do. That's the narrow road. But maybe a better approach is to pay attention to what Jesus has been saying in this sermon, which seems to be what's on his mind. And more specifically, pay attention to what he says immediately before talking about the wide gate and the narrow gate and the wide road and the narrow road. Because what Jesus says right before that is this: in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, we heard Paul say something almost identical just a few moments ago. The whole law and prophets is summed up in this idea: love your neighbor as yourself. And if you were listening in the worship service, we heard this passage referenced also, where Jesus is talking with the teacher of the law. And they identify that all of the law is boiled down to this simple, difficult idea: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus here restates the same idea. The whole law and prophets is summed up in this: do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule. That's the whole law in a nutshell. But it's not always so easy. The golden rule is love in action. Jesus expects that we do something to do unto others. And the golden rule is empathy in action. You have to get outside your own head. You have to get outside your own perspective. You've got to get outside your own experience to try to see and feel and imagine what something might be for another. To anticipate what love would look like for them. Love in action for them. Now I know to all of this, some people's reaction from time to time is, here we go, another sermon on love. All he wants to talk about is love. And you may think I'm making that up, but I've had those conversations. Do we have to talk about love again? Whether it's this church, all that church wants to do is talk about love, or some other churches, all that church wants to do is talk about love. To which I gently reply, you know, I have it on good authority that one who has really good authority looked at the whole thing, all of Scripture, law and prophets, and says, you know the best way to boil this down? You know what's left when you all put it together? You know the umbrella that all of it is supposed to come under? Love. You can't talk about it too much. You can't do it too much. Because if you understand it, loving God with everything you are and loving your neighbor as yourself, doing to others what you would have them do to you, that's it. Everything worth talking about falls under that category. Now notice that Jesus says, by the way, that's not an easy road to walk. That's not always the popular road to walk. That is the narrow road less traveled. Love of neighbor before yourself, that is the narrow road less traveled. Putting others first, that's the narrow road less traveled. Caring for strangers and others and people who are different and people who are bothersome and annoying, that is the narrow road less traveled. Being a peacemaker. Seeing how you can mend relationships. That is the narrow road less traveled. Going the extra mile when you would like to tell that person who asked for the first mile what they can do with the first mile. That is the narrow road less traveled. The path of grace and mercy. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. That is the narrow road less traveled. Being generous with who we are. When so much within us and around us encourages us to accumulate more. Being generous with what we have. But not in ways that everyone can see, but in ways that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. That is the narrow road less traveled. And when you see golden rule love taking place, wherever it is, within the church, outside the church, someone who's a Christian, someone who's not a Christian, if you see golden rule love taking place, praise God. Rejoice and be glad. And when possible, join in and be a part. Because the reality is that there will often be a strong, swift current taking us in very different directions. the narrow path, the smaller portal. And at those times, we have to lean in and keep swimming against the stream so that we're moving with the kingdom of God. I've read one of those against the natural current kinds of stories a couple of weeks ago. If you follow the news much, then it seems like at least once a month we're hearing stories about a new wildfire out in the western part of the United States. You may have noticed that, and California is on the receiving end of a lot of that, and one of those fires was in Redding, California, and it has been devastating. Hundreds, thousands of acres destroyed, hundreds of houses destroyed. At last, I read about 8 to 10 confirmed lives that were lost. And among the many sad stories that has emerged from that particular fire near Redding, California, is how it started. There was a retired couple, I think they were retired, it was an older couple, who had a trailer. And they were driving that trailer along the road when a tire blew. And they did what they could, as fast as they could, to get over, but it did not take long while they were driving with that blown tire for that rim to be running along the pavement and sending sparks everywhere into the dry brush that was all around them. So that by the time they pulled over, they had already started the fires that eventually led to so much damage and loss, including loss of life. And the couple was devastated. And it wasn't about fault, certainly wasn't about intentionality, but they were devastated, and especially the wife was grief-stricken. And there was a young woman who knew someone who knew someone who happened to be in church shortly after hearing a message of love and mercy and forgiveness. And she had this sort of distant connection to these people and said, "Boy, you know who needs to be reminded of love and mercy and forgiveness? It's this couple who is racked with guilt right now." And so she got online and she started a Facebook group in which she invited people in the community to respond. Only positive. You have to lay that out there sometime in social media. If it's negative, it's getting pulled off. Only positive. And this couple was flooded with messages, not just worldwide, although people around the globe and around the country wrote in, but to me the most amazing is they were flooded with messages of mercy from people in the area who had lost everything, lost their houses, lost land, lost loved ones. And over, messages of mercy and grace and love and absolution were sent out to this grieving couple. It is a simple thing, but I would tell you the wide path is the path of a lawsuit. The wide path is the litigation path. The wide path is when we hold on to resentment and we grow in our bitterness and we're looking to lash out in blame. The wide path is the one that is slow to forgive or refuses to forgive. The wide path is the one that may not blame, but sure is going to avoid. I won't blame them, but I'm sure not going to do anything to bless them. The narrow road less traveled is that path of empathy. This must be so hard on them. Even though it was hard on those who lost, I know this is hard on you. And so I'm going to do to you what I would hope someone would do to me. I'm going to extend mercy. I'm going to extend grace. I'm going to offer love. I'm going to give absolution. The narrow path is the one that lightens the burden for others, who helps when we're weighed down by guilt and shame. The road less traveled is the road of radical love. And the whole of Scripture boils down to that. So, if you're in here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus and you've never been baptized, I want to remind you that God's abundant love is available for you because Jesus took the narrow road less traveled to the cross. Come talk with me about that, or one of the leaders of our church, and we'd love to explore what that means and what that's all about. But for all of us in here who have been baptized, I also remind you, one, of the love that continues to go with you. But I also remind us all of the love that continues to compel us to go out, to offer golden rule kind of love to a world that is desperate for it.